Now, this podcast from Better Off Out is something of a special, actually, because it's all taken up entirely by one thing. This is a speech that Stephen Wolfe gave in a public meeting in Buckinghamshire. Stephen Wolfe, as you may be aware, is the UKIP member of the European Parliament for Northwest of England. But what he has to say here isn't just applicable to the Northwest of England, which he represents, nor just to Buckinghamshire, where he was speaking. This is something that is really relevant to all of us who live in the United Kingdom, and indeed, much of it is relevant to people who live elsewhere in the European Union. I thought this was an absolutely cracking speech. It's an absolute barnstormer of a performance. I was so impressed. I thought we'd just got to make this into an entire podcast on its own. So have a listen, see what you make of it.
So we then come to Stephen Wolfe. Stephen is the UKIP member of the European Parliament for Northwest England, and he's been to Brussels not once this week, but twice, having come back for the Oldham election yesterday. And he's driven over from Brussels this morning, and after the meeting he will be driving home to Chester. So I think that's quite an impressive journey, Steve. Well done. He's UKIP's immigration and financial affairs spokesman. He was a lawyer before he came into politics. It's good to have two MPs who actually had a real job and done something before they went into politics. He's married with a two-year-old daughter. And he does have a claim to fame. He says he was at school with Liam and Noel Gallagher from Oasis in Moss Side, Manchester, which is surely enough to stop anyone crying their heart out.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Tim. Tim obviously is there, has managed to identify that A, I have come from Manchester, B, that I did grow up with the Oasis brothers, the Gallaghers, who had the kind of band Oasis. I'm not saying that. I think tonight I am an Oasis of sensible people who want to leave the European Union. So I want to thank you for coming this evening. I also want to thank Philip, because as you can see from his speech, it shows exactly why he, amongst that small group of the Conservative Party, have ensured that we've had allies who believe in this country, who believe in Britain, and believe it is in the interests of this country to leave the European Union. Thank you very much, Philip. Yeah. I do have to say, I do have staff. One of them's in the audience today. I forgot my tie, so that's why I'm wearing a yellow tie, because it happens to be in his bag. It's not because I decided to defect to the Liberal Democrats. I'm sure that Nick Clegg is a fervent fan of the Leave the European Union group, as you know. 1975, for me, conjured up two things. I was just coming up to the age of eight, and being a fanatical football fan, I got my first opportunity to go to a match in Stockport. I actually spoke in Stockport County's ground on Wednesday evening. It brought back memories. I'm not sure which memories they were at that time, whether we won or lost. But 1975 was also a significant day, because that was the last time we had the referendum. And as Philip has ably set out, it is clear at that occasion we were deceived by being told that it was all about joining a free trade European economic community. Now, I want us to ask ourselves today, what has that economic community become? Well, first of all, we know it is a political union, of which the basis of that is freedom of movement, freedom of trade, freedom of capital, are some of the principles that they have as the fundamental heart. But deep down, their ideal, their philosophy, is that they want to form a country called the United States of Europe. As a young, or I would say young, as a newish MEP, I'm approaching 50 now, so I'm kind of trying to hide the grey hairs in my head, which has caused over the last year. The first things I met when I'm meeting the MEPs in the Strasbourg Parliament was how many of them come up to me and say, why do you want to leave the European Union? Is it in our interest to have all 28 countries have this single market together, with countries working together, with ever closer union, Because how else are we going to compete against the United States? How else are we going to compete against those Chinese or the Indians or even those in South America that might be growing? We need to be large. We need to have 550 million people. And my response to them is, we don't need to have a new country. What you need to have is belief in the 28 countries of Europe, that you have beautiful language, beautiful people, great continents, fervent energy, those who want to be entrepreneurial, the spirit that has brought us wonderful poetry, fantastic architecture, brilliant wines and foods and cheeses, and a great combination of human beings that have brought an enormous wealth of interest to this world. That's what you need to have belief in, not trying to conjure up a political union run by not democratic people, but bureaucratic people. And that is why I want to leave the European Union. Yeah. But the change has also been dramatic. As Philip mentioned, we now have a court that has supremacy over our own courts. They make trade deals on our behalf, when I know there are countries in Africa with our own diaspora here from Nigeria and Ghana who are saying, why can't we trade with Britain? Why do we have to wait for a decision of 28 countries through the European Union? And I say that is a mistake. They make 75% of our laws, as we now know, criticised obviously by Nick Clegg, but we have them now pushed through, not through directives that would have to be debated on the floor of our own parliament, but sneakily through the back door, through regulations and secondary regulations. But those regulations are conjured up by 3,000 working groups in the European Commission, where you have civil servants working alongside the large corporates and their government affairs, making sure that the large corporates game their way into having the benefits of the rules that ensures that they control the markets and small and medium-sized businesses fail. Well, we're a nation that believes that small and medium-sized businesses drive this economy forward, that small and medium-sized businesses employ more people than the government should, and that small and medium-sized businesses ensure that we have individuals proud of themselves, proud of this country. And I don't believe that a European Union that puts corporate interests against the people interests is in the interest of this nation. That is why we should leave the European Union. But this referendum is going to be about more than just what the European Union is now. It's going to be portrayed, from my view, about what we can achieve in the future free of the shackles of those interests. I believe that we should be considering our own prosperity. I should be considering the improvement in our own culture, the improvement in our own security, but more importantly, the improvement in our freedom. It is going to be summed up by one simple question. Who do you want your children and grandchildren to be controlled by in the future? Unelected European bureaucrats by a nation state called the United States of Europe, or politicians like Philip, controlled within our own parliament, but controlled by you through the ballot box? I believe we should be having the ballot box controlling politicians like Philip through our own parliament rather than those unelected bureaucrats. And I hope that you agree. Yeah. But let's look at the other side, the campaign against us. Well, at the moment it's organised through a group called Britain Stronger in Europe. Well, actually, when I think about those three letters, B-S-E, it kind of reminds me a little bit of mad cow's disease. Now, and if I remember those pictures, sad as they were, many years ago, the cows just having an ability to stand on their own two feet. They were wobbling from side to side. They weren't really thinking straight. They didn't know how to articulate what was happening to themselves. No, I'm not just talking about Ken Clark here. You have to ask yourself who is also promulgating the views of staying in. You have people like Major, Blair, Brown, ex-prime ministers, Well, there are probably ex-prime ministers for a specific reason. But there are also people like Mandelson, Kinnock. Yes, you can keep going like that if you like. I know when I've done two speeches in Wales recently, I mentioned the word Kinnock. I thought I was going to be driven out of the hall because they thought I was supporting, clearly. These are people. And if you look into the eyes of Kinnock, during the 70s and 80s, he was one of the most fervent supporters of those who should leave the European Union. Well, can I ask you, what do you think made him change his mind? Could it be it was involvement with the European Commission? I don't know. But I will leave you, or whether it's up to you. But what is always certainly clear, that when those people who suggest that we should stay in the European Union, what is behind their view? It's a selfish, personal interest, normally borne by finances, normally borne by the fact that they work in organisations that benefit from the largesse of the European Union. But one thing is absolutely clear, it is not in your interest that they're supporting staying in the European Union, it is undoubtedly in theirs. But they will give us some arguments that is the reasons why we should stay in. Clearly we've heard, first of all, 3 million jobs are at risk if we leave the European Union. We will not be able to trade with the European Union. We will not have influence on the rules of the European Union. We will not have influence on the world stage. This is absolute nonsense. We are the fifth or sixth largest world economy, depending on the economic metric that you look at. We trade more with Germany than any other country in the world. We are the largest trading partner with the European Union. We receive 800,000 cars from Germany last year alone. What do you think that they're going to do if we decide to leave the European Union? Will BMW, will Mercedes, will Audi suddenly say, I'm sorry, Mum Britain, you've left the European Union, we're not going to sell you any of those cars anymore? Are we not going to be interested in buying them anymore? Well, maybe if it's Volkswagen, it might be changing your mind. As Gisela Stuart, the Labour MP, said, who was of German extract, as soon as we leave the European Union, the Germans will seek to have a free trade agreement with us. And that is the future. Free trade agreements, not political union, is what this country needs. A belief that we can love Europe, go to Europe, travel to Europe, but not be run by Europe. That is the future of happening to leave the European Union. Yeah. And they talk about prosperity. It'll be in our interest to remain in the European Union, not only because of jobs, because of the future trade conflicts that we might have with other countries. Well, I will ask you this. Take a look at the European Union now, and take a look at this country now, after 40 years plus of being in the European Union. Where is the prosperity for those coastal towns that Philip has mentioned, and those fishing industries that have declined? Where is the prosperity for the mining industry? Or indeed, at the moment, as we see the decline, destruction, and removal of the steel industry in this country, which has been heavily damaged, nay, destroyed forever, as a consequence of European Union directives on energy, which is pushing the price up of energy and pushing the business away from this country and away from Europe, but to Africa, to India, and to China. That is the consequence. There is no prosperity for a person who's left unemployed in the northeast of England, and there's no point in being in the European Union if we destroy all our industries that are dependent on energy. These are the reasons why prosperity fails and why we should leave the European Union. But we must also look at a granular level. When we look at open door migration, which they see as a shibboleth, it is something so essential to the European Union's heart, that free movement of people, that Jean-Claude Juncker, the leader of the Commission, or the President, as he likes to call himself, because that's his entitled role. None of you ever voted for him, by any chance, but he is the one that sets the rules, has said, we must not lose Schengen. We must not destroy the dream of open freedom of movement across Europe, even if it means not being protected by the terrorists of ISIS. Well, I tell you, I would rather my daughter is safe in this country with border guards checking every single person coming in here and ending Schengen, rather than listen to a man like that who wants open door migration without the protections our people need. Security first, European Union last.
Yeah.
And on migration, let us be clear. Whilst we believe there should be migration into this country, I am, after all, a product of a black American grandfather, a Jewish grandmother, an English grandfather, and an Irish grandmother. We believe that immigration has had a benefit for this country, but large-scale migration does not work for the benefit of the people in this country. And it's not because I say it. It's because organizations like the OECD, or even the European Union's Eurostat figures, as said, when you have large-scale migration at the levels we have, it pushes wages down to put people into the stage where they have to claim benefits or go to food banks. Well, I find that disgusting. It also is proven by own Mark Carney, chairman of our own Bank of England, that has said large-scale migration has ensured that we get job displacement of people who are born here, educated here, and seek a job. Well, it is a government's interest to protect its own people first and ensure that they have work and a future and hope. And the European Union's large-scale migration policy through open doors is destroying that. And only today, Professor Robert Rothern of the Cambridge University has come out with yet another report that shows that large-scale migration virtually has no impact whatsoever positively on improving the economic well-being of this country. As numbers increase, we only have to look out the door, as we saw coming in today, the increases of the roads and the infrastructure problems that we have. The fact that today that our own reports from the Department of Local Government and Communities have said that we will need 200,000 houses a year, 100,000 of those to house the new migrants coming into here. The destruction of our Greenbelt, the end of the ability to have our own farming as land becomes more and more compressed and prices rise. These are the cultural factors of the concern that we have by being in the European Union. And it's not just us, is it? During the crisis in Greece, I can never forget the picture of the face of that 72-year-old ophthalmist who stood on the steps of the Greek Parliament and was videoed as he cried out in Greek, "No more, I cannot take this anymore," and shot himself through the head. In his note to his family, he explained he had to die because of the debts he was now placed in because of the collapse in the Greek economy, and he did not want to leave those debts onto his family, as would apply in Greek law. A man killed himself because the European Union crushed democracy in Greece, forced austerity on its country, ensured that people were borrowing more, lending more, and not looking after their own people, that people were eating out of bins, that women were having to give away their children, that you now have youth unemployment at 57%. Is that the prosperity of the European Union of the future that we want? I don't believe it's what you want, and it's certainly not what the European Union peoples want. Italy, with youth unemployment at 44%. Croatia, at youth unemployment at 43%. Cyprus, with youth unemployment at 31%. I can go down to the last country, Germany, has youth unemployment at 7% for now. Until Merkel's madness. Until Merkel decided that she wanted to change international law, remove provisions that have been sat in place for decades by dispensing with the Dublin Treaty and saying that anybody can come to Germany as a migrant, whether you are a genuine refugee or an economic migrant. As a consequence, I know from German MEPs I'm always speaking to They're concerned that 1.3 million will turn into 5 million within the next 5 years, and youth unemployment and concerns and lack of community cohesion will begin. That is a consequence of being in the European Union. Philip mentioned also one other thing that's very important. This isn't a vote about the status quo. My journey through being an MEP over the last few months has seen me in Strasbourg, where I've seen votes where they want a European army, where they voted for tax credits to companies that would build weapons for a new European army, where they would give tax credits for companies that would start development on new forms of weaponry for a European army, where they would give tax credits to companies that will build drones, support drones for the European Commission and a European army that would control over Europe. We'll ask you, why does the European Commission want a European army with drones just to monitor the people of Europe? Is it because the people of Europe are waking up to the fact that there is a bureaucratic nightmare and an anti-democratic organisation being built within this new country in Europe that they will want to monitor us and protect us and make sure that we don't break it up internally? Or that unemployment at the levels we see for our young people is unsustainable? Or that the destruction of democracies in Portugal or Greece, or the control of putting in troikas in places like Italy, is unsustainable? Europe, the union of the future, is not one of prosperity. It's not one of good governance. It's one of control of its people by unelected dictators. That is why we must leave, so we can help the European Union, all those countries, support and leave too. Yeah. Freedom. Liberty. Justice. They roll off the tongue so easily, don't they? We hardly remember them anymore. When we get on a bus or get in a car, most of us don't think about those opportunities that we've had. But as Ronald Reagan, the ex-president of the United States, said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in our bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on them for them to do the same. Not far from here, many of you will know the village of Burford. And outside the village of Burford on a church, there is a plaque commemorating three young men. Three young men who should be taught in every school in this country. Three young men who should be fixed in our mind for what they did. Cornet James Thompson, Corporal Perkins, John Church. Three members of the New Model Army that fought alongside Cromwell to get rid of one of our nastiest dictator kings in Charles I. Three men that started to write pamphlets with the Levellers who believe in something heretical, something fundamental. Freedom of the individual away from the state. The belief that you should have a trial by jury. The belief that you could put a piece of paper with a cross and vote for people who would look after your own interests to ensure that you weren't dictated to by the elite of the time. But Cromwell, having got in power, decided that he didn't like these heretical views, followed them down to this church and demanded that every one of that group should come out. And one by one, some people did. Maybe they were called Major. Maybe they were called Blair. Maybe they were called Mandelson. But they left that church one by one, apart from those three men. And when they were dragged out, they were killed on the spot. Killed on the spot for the heretical view that we should be able to live in freedom. And this year, we celebrate the Magna Carta, where other people fought for those freedoms to be eked along a little bit and a little bit on our chain of history. We also commemorate the Battle of Britain, where young men, no younger than that young man in the corner there, or the young lad over there, knew that they were going to get into a plane and potentially never come back because they wanted to defend the rights of this country and everything that we fought for. The history of the places like I had in Manchester and the Peterloo Massacre, where 15 people were killed and 600 injured, including two children, simply for asking for the vote. Or in Merthyr Tydfil in Wales in the early 1830s, where 32 people were killed simply for asking for the vote. Or those suffragettes beaten by our own police officers outside our own parliament, simply for the asking for the vote for women. And in 1969, we achieved that. For every man and woman aged 18 was able to vote to get people like Philip in parliament or get rid of him if they didn't like it. And in 72, what did we do? What did the cowards in our government, what did Heath do? They took that power away by ensuring 75% of our laws are now handed over and dealt with by unelected dictators in the European Union. I believe that it is our time to regain that belief, regain our trust, regain the power and sovereignty of our belief in this nation and get it back to ourselves. This isn't about the politics of the party. It doesn't matter whether you're Labour or Lib Dem or Conservative or even SNP. It shouldn't matter what age you are, what creed, colour, race or religion are. Because this is about freedom for you, your children, your grandchildren. Take it out of our bloodstream and hand it down to them for the future. So are you going to be with us? Are you going to be on the streets knocking on the doors and asking your neighbours to vote to leave? Are you going to tweet, Facebook, write letters to the local newspapers? Are you going to be in the shops? Are you going to combine yourself with anyone of any political power or colour or creed and ensure that you believe in Britain, that you believe in this country and its people, that you believe in the future of this country, and that you believe it's in our best interest to be out of the European Union, to leave the European Union and be free once again? Thank you.